listening to the Money Pig Podcast, brought to you by Goodwin Investment Advisory, where our mission is to lead people to financial peace, independence, and generosity. I'm your host, Reed Trigo, and if you're new to the show, please click follow, like, and subscribe so you get our new episodes as soon as they come out. Today, I'm joined by certified financial planner, CFP, Joe Beckford, here from Goodwin Investment Advisory, to talk about another happy topic, emergencies. Joe, we bring you in.
I can't escape the intro. What? We can't even get past the intro.
It's because you're the most empathetic advisor we have. You
did you say pathetic advisor?
Yes. After I said M.
Empathetic.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
thanks for the clarification there.
Sure. Hey, listen, you said people have asked you this frequently. Clients often ask me when I was meeting with them regularly, how much do I need for an emergency fund? Right? On their personal finance side, we can also relate this to a business finances, I suppose, as well. But
for sure,
mostly we talk about personal finance. So emergency funds.
Super common question. I mean, for one thing, I'm grateful they even asked the question. Because people should be, you know, sometimes when I'm the one that has to introduce the concept of, do you have an emergency fund? That's not good.
Yeah. So. And okay, we should have done the research beforehand, but it's like almost half of people in the United States can't come up with $1,000.
Sure.
It's more than that, actually, sure. I think. And like 40-some percent can't come up with $500 in an emergency. So a lot of times we do start thinking about, oh, golly, starter emergency fund is a good place to go, but we're going to get to that.
Right.
We're going to get to that. First, just let's define what an emergency is. Okay. So what's like the high level, this is going to be an emergency.
Right. And you can rationalize what an emergency is, right? So everybody has an opinion. So to me, what is an emergency is something like, I had a car accident on the way home. That would have been hard to foresee.
True. Yeah. It's an accident.
Right. There was a bad storm and a tree fell on my house last night. Like the roof is off the house.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah, that's an emergency. It's July. I've had my HVAC serviced pretty recently and it broke. And it's 90 degrees in the house.
That could be an emergency, but well, a plannable maybe emergency.
Maybe.
It's almost a plannable event.
Yeah.
It's like tires.
It's like tires, right?
It is.
We were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
So
do your perspective on tires.
What do you mean? Me?
Tires are going to wear out. They're going to wear out, right?
Yeah.
They're a replaceable item. You're going to need an oil change. That is not an emergency. You're going to need that.
Yeah. If you watch NASCAR, like they go about 40 laps.
Right.
Tires don't last for that long.
Right. They don't. They're going to wear out eventually.
That's right.
But are you going to, you know, is a piece of debris going to fall off a truck in front of you and blow your tire on the way home on your brand new tire that you just bought? You don't expect that to happen.
That is unexpected.
Right.
It's an accident.
Right.
Okay. How about, Joe, you had a stressful week. You know what you deserve? A weekend away. And so you and your wife, you know what? We weren't saving for it, but we really can't cash flow it, but we deserve a weekend away. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go over to, I don't know where, you know, Macon, Georgia for a luxurious weekend.
As soon as you said the word deserve, that led me back to, wow, you can justify almost any emergency, can't you?
Yeah, you're right.
And you might deserve a weekend away, and you might think, I am going to lose it if I don't have a mental break, right? I need to do something. But I can go down to the Sea Islands or Sea Pines Resort, or I could go pitch a tent in a state park for $8 and get away at the same time and get the mental break that I need. So there's a big difference in those two items. So I'm not saying that the break isn't an emergency, but dropping a ton of cash isn't.
Yeah, that word deserve always gets me. If I start thinking to myself, I really deserve it, I'm like,
you're going down the wrong path right there.
Wrong path. Yep, I knew it.
Right there.
I knew it. Okay, all right. So here's the deal. You have a car and you know, over the next sometime, year or so, I'm going to need to replace it. but you find a great deal right now, oh my gosh, there will never be another opportunity, at least you think. And you just don't want to miss that. You feel like it's got to happen now or it's never going to happen. Do you dip into an emergency fund? Is that an emergency?
I would say that is not an emergency.
Not an emergency.
I'm not saying it's not important. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, but I think there's a difference between a missed opportunity and an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if that one in a lifetime kind of car deal comes up and your car didn't just explode in your driveway yesterday, it's not really an emergency. It's kind of a want, right?
Yeah.
But you want to seize an opportunity. So I think there's a lot to be said for having some funds set aside to be able to take advantage of opportunities. What happens if you want to invest in a business?
Right. It's almost like you'd want to have sinking funds or prepaid future expenses in their own categories down the road or earmarked in an account so that, hey, if that opportunity came along, you could buy a car unexpectedly, invest in a business unexpectedly.
Right, right. I just think that's different from your emergency fund. Yeah, I mean, true. I think it's a pot of money. I think it's something you save for. I'll give you an example. What if you're thinking, hey, we are going to go on a trip and I've got this handy dandy little app on my phone that pings me when the fare to, you know, Iceland, which I've always been wanting to go to, and the fares are always $1,200, and all of a sudden I can go to Iceland for $400, but it's today. Is that an emergency? No, it's not an emergency. Will I die if I don't go to Iceland? No, I'll just miss an opportunity, right? But if I've been planning for that and I've been saving for that, I go back to what you just said. You've got a little pot of money that you were saving for your fare. You were already thinking it was going to be $1,200, but now you get it for $400. Well, yes, buy it today then, but buy it from that pot of money.
That's right.
Not from your emergency fund.
Not emergency funds.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So emergency money is for emergencies.
Emergencies.
It gives you peace of mind. You can sleep better knowing that if you drive to work tomorrow and you get in a fender bender, you're not stressed out because you can't come up with $500 for a deductible or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, to be clear, if I get in a fender bender tomorrow, I'm still going to be a little stressed
out. Well, that's true. It's going to stress
me. But I know
the money part won't.
I know the money part. I'll be able to handle it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about the size of an emergency fund. There's some interesting conversations around this and some interesting debate. Tell me what you recommend to clients on how much should be in their emergency fund.
So I'm kind of a traditionalist, and I always tell people, 3 to 6 months of expenses, and that comes off the lips really, really easy, right? So then clients will say, so how do I know if it's 3 or how do I know if it's 6? And the answer, my favorite answer to give to people about everything is, well, it depends,
yep.
Right? So things to depend on. For one thing, it could be 12 months, just so you know, if that's depending on what your situation is, right? That might warrant that, depending on maybe you're a self-employed person, and maybe you've got a whole lot of mouths to feed at home and everybody's relying on you, and maybe your income is kind of inconsistent. Maybe you make $1,000 one month and $10,000 the next month, and you're really not sure when that next gig is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a 12-month emergency fund probably feels a heck of a lot better than 3 to 6. So I could certainly argue go out for a year, right? But some of the other things to consider is, are you a single person or are you married? How many mouths are relying on your income? Do you have two incomes in your family or one? So if you're married but only one spouse is working, everybody's relying on that one income, you probably want to err more on a larger emergency fund, more like 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got two people working, two people in the family, both have really stable jobs, W-2 jobs, feel pretty good about it, been there a long time, know their jobs, good at it, probably risk of losing your job tomorrow, relatively low, you could probably err on the side of 3 months and you'd be fine.
Love it.
So I think you got to take all those things kind of into consideration.
Could you put your kids to work? Hey, he's 5. He can go earn something.
Yeah.
No,
you know, and that also comes into play. Do you know your budget? So I think to get this exercise done, you know, when people tell me, how much do I need in my emergency fund? I'm almost always flipping it back on, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do a little homework if you haven't already. What's your budget look like? And you have two budgets. You have this is my current lifestyle, which might be your desired lifestyle. hey, we go out to trivia on Thursday nights. We have a couple of beers and some wings, and we go out to the lake on the weekend, and we get to do and we get to go. And we are good right now. Well, that's one budget, right? So that, what's that spend look like? Mm-hmm. But the, oh my gosh, I've lost my job, the whole poop hits the fan kind of budget, what does that budget look like? Well, maybe trivia night doesn't happen. Maybe we're not going and riding the boat on the weekend. Maybe we're not having a lot of that, you know, sort of non-discretionary spending. So you mm-hmm. figure out what's the really tight budget look like. That's the budget I'm talking about. You need 3 to 6 months of that.
You know, I would talk to people and I'd be like, okay, there, like, how much do I need in an emergency fund? And I'd be like, 3 to 6 months of expenses. And they would do the calculation immediately and they'd go, well, let's see, honey, we make $8,000 a month. So we need 8 times 3, 24,000 or 8 times 6, 48,000. I'm like, I didn't say 3 to 6 months of what you make. I said it's 3 to 6 months of your expenses. And they'll be like, not different. Right? Because there isn't more money at the end of the month.
Right. But they have managed to spend it all.
Yes.
By the end of
yes.
the month. Right.
So that is like that's a sign. If in a situation where you're not able to put money aside, allocate every month in your budget to some future emergency or future savings goal, the next car, the next tires, whatever they're going to be.
The next travel opportunity.
The next business investment opportunity, sure. Right? If you're not able to do that, that means you might be living a little close to the margin.
Right.
Stay inside the guardrails there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Good. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. And you mentioned this, but a self-employed guy just stopped by the room a few minutes ago. And he was like, yeah, my emergency budget. I have my ideal life. I have my shoestring budget. I calculate my emergency fund based on my shoestring budget. And he, self-employed, wife also works with him in the business, 3 kids, I think, right?
Yep.
And he wants 12 months of that shoestring budget. That makes him feel comfortable. That's awesome. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. There's a lot riding on that.
I can fully understand that. You've been self-employed. You understand why that brings.
With an inconsistent income.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's great. Okay. Another version of emergency funds as the starter, like the, you know, Dave Ramsey's baby steps. He always says your first one should be $1,000 as your first emergency fund. Maybe factor in inflation. Maybe it should be $2,000 now because that $1,000 came out in the 90s.
Right.
Right. But okay. Also, maybe that second step beyond $1,000 is match your largest insurance deductible. Now,
so talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I think now some people, if you're self-employed or have a high deductible plan, your insurance deductible might be $13,000. But that's probably large enough to cover your auto deductible. And it's probably large enough to cover your home insurance deductible. And those are the really big accident things that could happen, right? And HVAC, maybe it'll cover HVAC.
Sure.
So for all those things to happen at the same time, unless you drive your car into a tree, which hits the HVAC and your house all
at the
same time.
And you're hurt in the accident.
And you're hurt in the accident. That's a bad day.
That's a bad day.
Very terrible, no good, very bad day. What's that?
Yeah. I don't know, that kid movie?
I don't remember that. But the largest deductible is a good second step. I still like the 3 to 6 months of future expenses, not your income.
Yeah, I'm with you. When you first get started, if you don't have $1,000, get $1,000. And to your point, with inflation from what's happened from 25 years ago, 30 mm-hmm. years ago, yeah. Maybe it's $2,000.
Yeah, I think
so. Maybe that's your first step, and then your insurance deductible is yours. So that probably puts you around 13.
Yeah.
13 to 15.
Could you imagine like a newlywed couple sitting down in January going, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have $1,000 saving, you know, emergency fund by March. They get to March, they have their $1,000. And then their next target is we want to have our largest deductible covered, whatever that might be. And they get that done by September. Just how to check off tasks. What a great, you know, I like checklists.
Yeah. And imagine just how peaceful that feels.
Oh, goodness. I know.
Your first year of marriage and you can at least cover even a high deductible, you know, big medical event. Like that's amazing.
Super fun. Okay, good. So where do you keep an emergency fund?
In your mattress?
Yes, exactly. Or In a hole in the backyard. Also safe answer.
Right. Totally safe answer, because houses never wrong answer. They go ahead, do it.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah, but if you did put
because
it
there, you know, the a house back... fire could be an emergency.
That's true.
And it's a bigger emergency if your cash went up with
That's
it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I always tell clients for emergency funds that I want you to be more liquid. No more non-liquid, I guess, than like a high-yield savings account.
Yeah.
I mean, even a CD, if you put it in a CD, and I do have some clients who are like, oh, part of my emergency fund's in a CD, I like getting that. That's okay, but you're encumbering that. That isn't super liquid. Could you cash it in tomorrow? Yes. But could you take a little bit of a haircut on the price? Yeah. Why do that to yourself?
So is that there's a penalty if you pull money out of a CD? Or
there can be. Sometimes it's just foregoing interest, but it depends on the bank and what the terms were of what you bought. You could
okay.
buy a $10,000 CD and end up having to cash it out early and get less than 10 back. That could happen. So I always tell people, look at a high yield savings account. And generally that's going to be at a bank that's not one of your traditional brick and mortar banks.
Yeah.
Usually those are more online sort of banks.
I love them. And they're not less legitimate. They're still run and backed by large banks. They're just the online version. I love mine.
Yeah.
And we move money back and forth all the time.
Just make sure you're FDIC insured and you're good. Yeah, for sure.
Because right now, 4.5%, 5.5% somewhere in there is a very reasonable rate of return compared to 3 or 4 years ago when you get 0 or like 0.01%. That was so annoying.
Right.
Right? And there's much lower inflation then too.
Well, there was. Yeah, that's the double-edged sword, right? Inflation is down. That means yields on savings accounts are down. Inflation is higher. And for better or worse, looks like rates are going to be higher than we wanted them to be for longer than maybe we wanted them to be. So yeah, for people who are saving, it's a good time to look at a high yield interest.
There you go. Okay, next question. I got some advice when I was first starting out on my own. Not married yet, single guy, went and got insurance for my car.
Okay.
And he's like, how much of a deductible would you like? Speaking of like insurance deductible, this is how this came up to my mind. I'm jumping back a little bit.
Okay.
And I said, I don't know. How do I decide that? Now, the actual answer is we should have an emergency fund, right?
Right.
But his answer was, well, if you have a credit card with $1,000 available on it, that could help you determine what your deductible should be. What do you think?
It sounds like you're baiting me into thinking that I'm going to say it's okay to use your credit card as your emergency fund.
No, legitimate question, because I have bounced. For whatever reason, I was like 22, first insurance policy on my own. That stuck with me. And I'm truly don't know what you think about it.
I don't know.
I don't think it's safe.
I don't think it's safe either. I mean, it depends on what you can afford, right? When you're young, well, you're a young guy, you're under 25 probably.
Yeah.
Your insurance rates were probably ugly.
That's right.
At that
he was
time.
Probably trying to help me by getting a higher deductible, and he's saying, yeah, if you have $1,000 available on a card, this will keep your rates down. I bet that's what it was.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for auto and to your point, with inflation and what that looks like, I don't feel like it makes a lot of sense to have a deductible less than $1,000 on
a
car.
Yeah, I agree.
But the reality is cars these days, you bump into somebody, it's going to cost you $1,000.
That's true.
It's going to. So just have that in your emergency fund and go with that. I think on my son's car insurance, yeah. Even on my son's car, we don't have less than $1,000 on that. Premium just gets crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say emergency fund, you've had to spend it for something. Mm-hmm. Whatever the accident was, you had to spend some of it. How do you replace it once you've had to deplete it?
When you started with your emergency fund, it took discipline to do, right? You had to put money away on purpose. Mm-hmm. Sometimes to me, that makes me feel like I've got a bill that I have to pay. So to me, once I built it, if I have to deplete it for some reason, you know, the air conditioner went out, cost me like $5,000 or whatever, I pretend I have a $5,000 credit card bill that I need to pay back. And think of it this way. If it was on a credit card, you're paying interest. So it's in your best interest to pay that off as quickly as possible. But now it's out of your emergency fund. It's out of cash. But that interest or that account was making 4% interest before you just whacked it for your emergency, which is what it's for. And that's okay. but you're missing out on 4%. Put it back.
And you're paying almost 25% on the balance that you're carrying on a card.
Oh, yeah. Don't put it on a credit card. Yeah, yeah, right. for sure. So my thing is
Yeah. You said pretend you have a card.
Pretend it's like a credit card bill and you want to pay it back. You
I know, pretended as so much I made it real.
Right? How about pretend you had a credit card bill? Yeah. You're going to put it back on there. So I would say I need to pay myself back as quickly as possible.
Nice. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. And that comes back to being why it's important to budget.
Exactly. That's really. Really hard to do if you're not budgeting, right?
Yeah.
How do you figure out what margin you have to be able to even do that?
Awesome. Thank you again, Joe. Yeah. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks and for all having the me on with another fun topic.
Wise, empathetic words from Joe. We should rename this. Hey, and thank you for listening. Remember to follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts and so that you'll get the new episodes as soon as they become available. You want that as soon as they come out.
Absolutely.
Hot and ready.
Cutting edge.
That's right. Hey, and I'd like to remind people that as financial advisors, we manage and rebalance portfolios, but the unique value is that we work to understand our clients' individual goals so we can have these types of planning conversations that are so personal and unique to each individual. And one final shout out, Noah Davis, the editor. Thanks, Noah. Great job. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We will catch you next time. Bye.
The Money Pick podcast is hosted by Reed Trigo, a financial advisor at Goodwin Investment Advisory. This podcast is intended to share information and perspectives, but should not be interpreted as legal, financial, or tax advice. The opinions shared by participants are not necessarily endorsed by the company. Goodwin Investment Advisory is regulated by the SEC, and the company operates in compliance with applicable securities, laws, and regulations.